Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Miles Kubeka is the director at South African at SA Harvest. He joins us. A very good morning. How are you?
I'm good, and yourself?
I am well, thank you. How big a problem is this in South Africa?
Well, with food rescue as SA Harvest, so we work with many big retailers, right? So, and we then distribute that food we rescue from retail to poor communities or community-based organizations. And when you deal with community-based organizations, you see this problem largely in townships where counterfeit goods or illicit products are prevalent, where a product is purported to be this brand and yet it isn't. It's manufactured elsewhere and maybe even of poor quality, or sometimes even, you know, people will remove, for example, slices of bread in a bag of bread. So it's you know, it's big and it's varied, and it's actually a huge problem.
Does it also pertain to things like expiry dates or best before dates?
Yes, I mean, you know, that one is a little bit more contentious because, you know, best before dates, technically, there's nothing wrong with that food.
I wonder about
retailers. Yeah. And as a chef, I can tell you the really only one way to tell if food is off or is past its best use is if you smell it or you can see it.
Right.
But for the most part, those dates are, you know, is a date.
So that's a whole separate discussion. In other words, it can be part of it, but it in of itself, it's a fairly contentious issue. What we're referring
when
to,
people remove the dates or remove the product from that packaging that has dates, for example, and put it in a different branding or a container that doesn't have the same date, then that's part of counterfeit or fake product.
Right. So let's just talk about, in other words, what we're really talking about is if it purports to be one brand but is another, if the quality is lesser, or in fact if the weight or something has been removed from the packaging.
100%. And I mean, it's big business, right? So, like anything that is, counterfeit or illicit, there's a whole, I suppose, distribution and market channel for that. So it's huge. Yeah. And of course, that's a huge risk to the consumer.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you is, does that, in terms of health and safety, that must be a major issue.
Oh, no, indeed. You know, and it's obviously also hard to track and trace because, you know, anything that is of that nature tends to be, you know, clandestine and so forth. So, yeah, it's a big risk for consumers.
And so in terms of how big an issue this is happening in certain areas, maybe in the townships, those types of areas, or is it really across the board? Are you saying that maybe the more vulnerable in South Africa, those that are struggling a little bit more, are more susceptible to this?
Yes, that's the irony of life, right?
Of course.
And of course, because if you're buying from a reputable retailer, you know, retailers take this very seriously.
Right.
And also liability is that much higher with them. But in local community, you know, in townships, it's very hard to a police, but also to you know, people to get you know, take that up with authority. You know, and in fact, if you look at it, mostly in townships, there's very little in a way of you know, people can go and check if following the rules and regulations. Whereas in big retail, you can. And in fact, they don't even have to, from a governance perspective, the retailers themselves do that because the risk is so high for them if they can.
Right. In other words, that responsibility sits directly with the retailers. So if you do have a problem, that's the easiest, that's where you go. That's your point of departure. Whereas if you're buying from somebody who's not reputable and who does this, well, then it's much more complicated for you.
100%. And I mean, again, using big retail as an example, I mean, from their suppliers as well as themselves, they have regulations like HACCP or ISO 9000. There's so many regulations that they have to fulfill in order for products to move through the cold channel, whether on shelves or even when the product is in transit, Whereas when in smaller retail stores, where because some of those to put those policies and processes in place, a hell of a expensive exercise, right? So small retailers typically don't do that. So and again, it's very hard to take them up on it because they're so small. Even if you could, you know, the return on that effort is often negligible.
How do we protect ourselves against this? Because if you go online and you see a product advertised, there's no way, you can't pick up the product, turn it over and have a look to see that, hold on a minute, there's something strange about this. You're ordering it based on the information that you have.
Yeah, I think our expertise is largely on the food side and largely on perishable food. But food in general, and food tends to, you know, the first trick is obviously packaging, right? The real first trick is making sure that wherever you're buying from is a reputable organization. I mean, because as I said, the risk for them to do it wrong or to try, you know, and shortchange you is not worth the effort, right? Because the risk is just way too high. So look at whom you're buying from. Mm-hmm. I think that's key. And then second to that, I mean, you know, the obvious trait is when you see the product, I think most people are rational. You can see if something looks off or dodgy. And if your gut is telling you that, and the obvious things, like if you see that it looks wrong, smells wrong, that's your first indicator. And I think one of the biggest things that consumers tend to not do is take it up with whomever you bought it from. And most organizations, especially online, they've got great return policies, right? So, you know, I think it's up to us to be vigilant and actually follow up, not just throw it away. Actually follow it up and make it a burden for the person who sold it to you.
Yeah, and I think that the other thing that people should be doing, and I know that in my family, as I've seen the online shopping increasing, not just in food but in all sorts of areas, where because it's safer to stay home and just order online, it's more convenient in some ways, is that it's not difficult to do a very quick search in terms of the reputability, the reputation of whomever you're buying from. So if you are looking at buying from a certain organization online, just do a very quick search. Just do a Google search and ask about the reputation, and very quickly you'll see if there are negative reviews, and you'll get a sense of if those are reviews that you need to take seriously.
But that cuts both ways, right? So you then also need to pay it forward. So should you buy a product that
falls below
your standard, you need to take the time to write reviews.
So
right?
Right.
Because
yeah.
That's how the system works. It's, you can't just be expected to get other people's reviews. And also,
you've really shamed me. I feel so bad now because I'm like a parasite. I just look at reviews. I don't review things if I've got a bad service. I never put it out there.
Yeah, but and it's very important to push into the well as well. Because what that does, it also gives relevance. Right, so when the search algorithms pull up the information, they pull up all the latest and or the most amount of feedback. But also the reverse side of that is, because I've seen it from owning restaurants and so forth, sometimes the manufacturer or whoever you're buying from can get it wrong. And it's just an accident.
Well, that's why you do have to look at those reviews very carefully and just make sure that you're not taking everything as seriously as you should, because sometimes people do get it wrong. There's not a company in the